in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at day 6 this evening, verses 24 through 31. But we remember that on day 1, we saw God elected a people. He divided the darkness from the light. He sanctified. He set apart. He said, "This is mine." On day 2, the Lord provided Christ as our firmament, our covering, our atonement for His people. Our covering was provided. On day 3, God gathered all those waters that He covered. He'd chosen together. And He elevated that dry ground and He planted herbs on it, grasses, and made them grow. Just as He plants His seed in our heart, makes it bring forth fruit. And we're gathered here tonight. He's gathered us together here under Christ with the fruit of believing the Lord, the fruit of loving the Lord. We love Him. We believe Him, don't we? We love His truth. We love His Christ. That's who we love. On day 4, we see these greater lights to rule the day and that lesser light at night and the stars. The Lord made a moon. He hung the sun and the solar system. The mysteries of heaven were revealed to us. We'll go out and look up in the daytime or the nighttime. Mysterious, vast, unsearchable. We see the sun, S-U-N, declares the sun, S-O-N. He's the light of all men in the world. And He's the light of life in the heart of every believer. Day 5, the whole purpose of making this earth and the things in it, we see. Lord made all the fishes. He made all the birds. But He made the whale. The purpose of all this was so the Son of God, God Himself, could come to this earth and die. Go into the grave for those people He separated, those people He sanctified, those people He covered, that He chose. Christ could come and die for them. Our Master said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." You see Christ in Jonah, don't you? There's a greater one than that prophet Jonah that's here. That's come. The more we see the rest that we have in Christ, that He truly put our sins away in His body on the tree, the more we see that our new man is His workmanship, created unto good works. Not refabricated and polished up a little bit. No, it's created. It's His workmanship, created unto good works. The more we see that whole purpose of creation, and this world, the fall of Adam, everything, it's for the glory of God and for the good of His people. And that we're going to be conformed into the image of His Son the more we walk by faith. The more we see those things, the more we walk by faith. It says in verse 24, "And God said," Genesis 1, 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, the creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." That was everything that walked. We saw things before the Lord created that flew, that hung in the heavens, that swam. Now it's everything that walks. God's people begin to walk by faith. We see each day here, day 1 through 6, and maybe we've memorized these things when we were a child and we knew what order they were in. But we begin to see this is God's eternal decrees represented in this creation. We begin to walk by faith. Some things are hard to see sometimes. Some things are hard to learn, ain't they? But the Spirit of God in us makes us believe and trust and obey and rest in Him. Hebrew writer said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Abraham, can you explain to me exactly what you're feeling and what you're experiencing whenever you up and went? He said, no, but I believe God. Where are you going? He told me to get to walking. I walked. I believed him. I loved him because he first loved me. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. It's good for us to read these things often. Each time as we grow some, we see more, don't we? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, everything, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, those He separated out before time, those He loved in Christ. He also, He didn't just love them. I love you. Best of luck. I love you. It's on you now. You got to learn. You got to figure it out. You got to do. He loved us. He foreknew us. And He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He predestinated us. So many people I grew up with had such a problem with predestination. That's because they didn't know what it meant. Or they add their own definition to things. It means ordained, to determine before. What was determined? What did it please God to do? What did He choose to do? What did He determine beforehand? To be conformed to the image of His Son. To be made like Christ. I hate predestination. Don't you want to be made like Christ? That's how it's going to have to happen. God, you've got to love you first. And He's going to conform you to Him as His Son. He's going to do all the work. All the workmanship. That's what we're going to see here in day 6. What the Lord determines takes place. What He wills comes to pass. That's what He wants to do. It's done. Now there in Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God said, let us. That's important. God said, let us. Who's the us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Us. Let us. It says in verse 1 there in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. That's Elohim. That's plural. Plural. Let us create man after our image. I tried to think of a thesaurus out of responsibilities or roles or something that would take place. I couldn't find a better word, but Lord forgive me. Each one of those have a role, don't they? God the Father purposed to make a people just like His Son. He looked on His darling Son and said, I'm going to make a whole people just like Him. How's that going to happen? The Son, He purchased us with His blood. That was the cost. He had to come to this earth, live, be born for us, live for us, die for us, shed His blood for us, and be risen for us. And then God the Holy Spirit comes to us. Informs us, reveals Christ in us. Baptizes us into Christ. Seals us forever, Paul said. Sealed Him. And awakens that new creation. Stirs up our pure minds. Wakes us up. So this is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It belongs to Him. It's His. He came to you. He loved you. It says in verse 27, so, Lord said, let us make man. So, verse 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Man was made in the image of God. Adam and Eve, before the fall, they were morally innocent. They were made in the image of God, but they didn't have all God's attributes. They had never sinned. They didn't know what sin was. Didn't know what evil was. Didn't know what nakedness was. Had nothing to be ashamed of. But they didn't have all the attributes of God. They're made in His image. They had no sin, but they weren't sovereign. They were made in His image, but they weren't omniscient. They're made in His image, they weren't omnipresent. They were in a body. They weren't impotent. They weren't able to do anything they wanted to. They weren't all powerful. Those are God's attributes. But mankind was created in the image of the triune God. That's something, isn't it? What a thought. Unlike those beasts of the fields, unlike the birds, unlike the fishes, all those things, we have a conscience. Man has emotions. We have the law of God written on our hearts. I don't have to get up here, and I don't have to tell men and women not to lie, cheat, steal, nor tolerate those that do. I don't have to do that. We know that's wrong. God put that in our hearts. Somebody has to tell you that. You know it ain't right. I just tell them the same thing no matter what. If you're sad, I tell you about the person and the work of Christ. If you're rejoicing, I tell you about the person and the work of Christ. If you're mad at me, if you're happy with me, it doesn't matter. I just preach Christ and Him crucified. That can be difficult. Do you know that? But it's simple. That's the simplicity of Christ, isn't it? As they chided Moses. They're going to kill him. Moses went and prayed to the Lord and said, they're mad. They are pecking me to death. This is getting brutal. They're grappling with me. And he said, you go spot the rock. Go show them one more time. Cross the rock. That's what you do. My Sunday school teacher growing up, I don't think he ever preached here, but his son has. He said, Adam was the most handsome man that ever walked the face of the earth. And Eve was the most beautiful woman ever to live. Sin hadn't touched them. They didn't have a wrinkle. Didn't have a worry. They'd never frowned. They'd have no reason to. Created in the image of God without sin. What a thought. This happened physically. Physically, God made Adam and Eve. You children, you listen to me. I'm going to talk to you all for a minute. You're going to grow up, you're going to go to school, and they're going to teach evolution. And I'm going to tell you the same thing my pastor told me. You don't take this as an excuse that I ain't going to learn that. That ain't true. You hush and learn it. You go take the test. That's what was put over you. It ain't going to hurt you. You'll be all right. The Lord will keep you. He'll show you those things. And when you get a little older, you start looking underneath the microscope at the Lord's creation. Take some science classes. Look at a human cell. Oh, there's a rough endoplasmic reticulum. Did you know that? Oh, who knew that? There's a mitochondria, the power plant of the cell. And inside of there is mitochondrial DNA that's only carried by a woman. And they said it went all the way back to one woman. They asked me in biology classes, why do y'all think that's so? I said, that way God can be fully man and fully God. No, I got kicked out of class. I said, look at that. Look at that cell. God made that cell. His salvation is declared in every cell in your body. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Physically, God made man. Where did we come from? God made us. That's a whole lot simpler. That takes a lot less faith than to believe all this nonsense. People say, I can't believe you have faith. I believe in and this 50 million years and this thing come out of the ocean. Yeah, that takes more faith than what it takes to say God made it. Spiritually, what happened? John told us in 1 John 3, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, the Lord comes to us, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God physically made Adam and Eve. God physically births. We're born again in spirit in our hearts. And when that final day comes, whether we go to Him or He comes here to this earth, we're going to see Him as He is and be like Him. Be like Him. As soon as we see our Lord, either the moment of death or that final day, as soon as we see Him, we're going to be like Him. We're going to conform to His image immediately. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. What's that going to be like? I don't know. The Apostle John didn't either. He just said so, didn't he? But I know I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to be as He is. I like to dwell on these things. I was watching the news a little bit this morning. I had some friends get a hold of me about everything that's going on overseas. And I thought, well, I could sit and worry about that. Or I could sit and dwell on, what's that going to be like in glory? That's coming. I don't know what will happen tomorrow over there. My day will come. I'll get to see my Lord. Get to see Him face to face. I'm going to be like Him. That's a better thing to dwell on, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 49. Paul writes, and as. That's after the same manner. After the same manner we have borne the image of the earthly. That's what we are now. We're born Adam's image. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we all shall be changed. Scripture says it's appointed once. Appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Everybody always says that when somebody physically dies, don't they? It was appointed unto man once to die as Adam, as every one of us. Elijah didn't die. He was took up in the whirlwind, wasn't he? Chariots of fire. Enoch was taken up. He was translated. Paul says that all these saints that ain't slept yet, if they're alive when the Lord comes, we're going to be changed right then. We ain't going to sleep. But we all died in Adam, didn't we? That's where we died. Spiritual death. We're all fallen. We're all corrupt. We're all void and without form, just like we saw on that first day. But when it pleases the Lord to come again, His elect, His sheep, His bride, those that sleep, those that are on this earth, are going to be changed to be conformed to His image, be made like Him. What's it going to be made like Christ? We're going to have His mind. We're going to have His heart. We're going to have His righteousness, His holy nature, His perfection right then. They're not 10,000 years of you filling it out and getting things right then. Be made like Him. Now back in our text here in Genesis 1, verse 27. It says, so God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. The Father is a spirit. No man hath seen the Father at any time save the Son. And that Son is the express image of the Father. And we who've seen the Son, we've seen the Father. They're one, aren't they? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is the Godhead in a body when He came to this earth. And God's male. It's a shame that needs to be said in our day. That needs said, though. He's a male. He's God. Then why then did God make humans both male and female? Why didn't He make every one of us like Him? To show us how God saves sinners and to show us what eternity is going to be like. That's why He did it. Turn over to Genesis 2, page over there in verse 21. Moses gives us these days of creation, then he goes back a little bit and explains what happened. Genesis 2, 21, and the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. First surgery is performed. I always think of Matthew 27:45. Darkness was upon the earth for 3 hours. I don't know how long Adam was asleep. Doesn't say. Maybe 3 hours. Huh? And he took one of his ribs from his wounded side, just as Christ on that cross when they pierced him. Took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. He didn't take it from his head to rule over his bride. Didn't take it from his foot for him to walk on top of her. But his side, close to the heart, underneath the arm for protection, next to him. That's where he took that. And then he brought the bride to the man. We're called. We're drawn near to God, aren't we? Verse 23 says, and Adam said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He didn't say it's bone like my bone. This ain't flesh like my flesh. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That's the same DNA. It ain't a copy. It's part of. It's the same, isn't it? She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because there was no sin. There was nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to hide. There was no envy, no jealousy. Paul told us, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. What will I be like in glory? I'll be like Christ, and I won't be ashamed of it. What if I don't look like I do now? It don't matter. I ain't going to be ashamed of it. Be made like Him. Perfect. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. There in verse 3, Matthew 19, 3. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, two shall be one? Wherefore they are no more twain, they're no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Our Lord is speaking of God joining His people with Christ our head, Christ the firstborn. And no man's going to put it asunder. I always heard that saying, once saved, always saved. That phrase doesn't put it in perspective, does it? I know what you're getting at, but that doesn't do it justice. You who believe, you are made one with Christ. God did it. Man didn't. He did it. You didn't. And no man can ever put it asunder. What God's joined together, nobody's going to split in two. It can't be undone. What a promise. A hard heart will look at that from a physical, marital problem, worldly decree. And they're trying to entangle Him in His words, ain't they? It's a hard heart. Look here in verse 7. And they say unto Him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away with your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. With man, this is so. With a hard heart, with that void and without form, and just everything that I am, I hate by this nature. That's why I did it. Man can ruin an anvil. You know that? We can break anything. But the spiritual picture here is the eternal oneness of our Redeemer. From the beginning it was not so. In the beginning God, who changes not, put His people in Christ, wed them to Him. Turn over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Look down in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. What are the vials and seven plagues? I don't know, but that ain't what the angel talked about, was it? That's a stumbling stone for everybody, isn't it? That's easy for me to dive down a rabbit hole. I don't need to see what those were. I need to see what that jasper stone was. The Lamb's wife, look in verse 10. And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She was made like a jasper stone. made clear as crystal like a diamond. All the saints in glory, the spiritual Israel, we will be the Lamb's bride, prepared for her husband. Her being made one with Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, given His name, the Lord our righteousness. That's the name whereby He shall be called. You read on in Isaiah, that's the name whereby she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. We're given His last name. Put that clear stone on her hand. Her bride, that's the Lamb's bride. And we're going to look like Him too. In Revelation 4, it says, they saw the Spirit on the throne. And that one that sat on the throne looked just like a jasper stone. We're going to look just like Him, smell like Him, think like Him. It's unbelievable. We saw in Ephesians 5, Christ, the husband of His bride, He left His Father for one purpose, to cleave to His wife, that the two shall become one flesh, together the same. He's always been that one that's altogether lovely. That's what He's always been. He's never changed. God chose us when we were without form and void, when we were vile, when we were enemies against Him, dead in sin, harlots. And even when we were dead in sin, God quickened us together with Christ, made us alive, took that bone out of His side, made us, created us, betrothed us to His Son, and made us in Him. And back in our text, verse 28, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Have dominion over it. Rule over it. Reign over it. Who's going to do that? Them. He told them, Adam and Eve. He said, you both go rule and reign over that. Paul wrote to Timothy, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. That just boggles my mind. Revelation 5 said, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, that we shall reign on the earth. God took His people, and He made them without sin. Oh, the thought. Oh, what a thought. No sin, it's gone. He made us not be able to sin. Gave us His holy nature. That nature that produces righteousness. Gave us His righteousness. Sin's gone, forever put away. The pain, the agony, the regret, everything gone. And not the ability to sin. Forever. It ain't going to change. Now we're able to worship Him. Now we can truly worship Him. We can truly speak to Him. Praise Him. Without sin. And. Ain't that good though? Would that make you happy? And we're made kings and priests by God. I can't imagine that. We'll reign with Him. A child of God screams out, not worthy. Not worthy. Can make me do that? If I'm conformed to Him, I will be. It'd be right for me. Paul, we reign over the earth. Union with our husband. The one who we were made from and like because of Him. That's why. Verse 29 there says, Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, and you shall be for meat, and to you it shall be for meat. The Lord says, I've given you everything. Everything. You hungry? It's yours. Why did He give us everything? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You hungry? You want a fig? It's yours. Rule and reign over. You'll make one with the firstborn. Your kinsman redeemer. You go eat whatever you want to eat. We've been chosen to have our sins forgiven. We've been chosen to be Christ's bride. We've been chosen to reign with Him. Verse 30 says, and to every beast of the earth, He spoke to us, That speaks to every beast. Every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. In glory, every saint, every creeping thing, every bird, every fish, every lion, every wolf, every whatever is there, and they have life in it, will be vegetarian. People have a problem with that. People got mad at me over that. Death's been swallowed up in victory. When Adam and Eve were made here before Adam fell, nothing died. In the presence of Christ, nothing dies. He sustains. He's life. We'll feed on Him, won't we? Our tears will be forever wiped away. Pain's going to be extinguished. Sin's abolished. And death no more. At all. Ain't nothing going to die. An ant ain't going to be killed. Only total peace. Only total peace. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 65, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock." Go get a bale of hay for that big old lion you got out back. "And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." He said so. I believe Him. What's that going to look like? I don't know. I believe Him. Everything in Christ, it'll never perish. For over a year on that ark with Moses, all those animals. He had wolves and chickens and I don't know what. Everything he had in there. Two of every kind, right? Not one of them perished. They only had two each. Eight people was on that boat to babysit all them animals. You lose one, you're in trouble. How did the wolf not eat a chicken? God made peace. How is man ever going to be in the presence of peace? God has to make it. He has to give it. Verse 31, "And God saw everything that He made. And behold, it was very good." Everywhere else in this creation, God saw it and it was good. God saw it and it was good. God saw it and it was good. He gave His husbandman and His bride, gave us this picture, and He said, "It's very good. Very good." Looked over all creation. Very good. "And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth," chapter 2, verse 1, "thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." What did He say after He created everything? It's finished. Every day I'm going to give you a picture of how God saves sinners. How a worthless wretch can be just before a holy God. And He said, "It's finished. It's done." And it was very good. He was pleased with His workmanship. What a thought, isn't it? We sing that song, "This is my Father's world." What a picture we have of mercy and grace all around us in this creation. But to see Christ our kinsman redeemer. I love hummingbirds. I watch them out on the front porch. It's magnificent. Lord made that. But to see Christ our kinsman redeemer, our husbandman, that's lovely. That's lovely. And He gets all the glory. To God be the glory for great things He hath done. What a thought. Let's pray here.